I am Iron Man.
Bright suns, travelers. Today is Friday, January 14th, at the time of recording, at least. And this is the Bright Suns Podcast, the show for pop culture nerds like myself to obsess over, dissect, love, cherish, and respect all things in the geekdom with a focus on positivity. And by all things in the geekdom, I mean Star Wars, Marvel, comic books, DC, movies, video games, books, comic books. I think I already said that one. Anything in the geekdom that we feel like covering that makes us happy and we want to talk about, and we are going to talk about it. And the thing that we are going to talk about today is mostly the Book of Boba Fett Chapter 3. But I do want to start off by saying I'm in kind of a spicy mood today because any of my fellow introverts out there, you guys probably know this, phone calls suck. I can't stand talking on the phone. It's annoying to me. It's so, like, there's 100,000 other things that go through my mind that I should be doing, but instead I'm stuck on the phone. And I have, I've gotten like 4 phone calls today, and there's like members of my family that they don't understand when I say I hate phone calls and I don't like to talk on the phone. And they'll just call for like anything, just anything. Hey, how you doing? It's got to be a phone call. No. Just shoot me a text message. I'm probably in the middle of, you know, cleaning the house or doing dishes or making this show or watching TV, just literally anything. Like a text message only takes me out of my day for like a second, and that's fine. I can still connect with you. But, oh my God, I don't know why. It just puts me in such a bad mood when I get like a bunch of phone calls that I cannot ignore because I need to take those. But when the phone calls aren't important, when the phone calls are just like stuff that could be a text message or an email, like phone calls very much are for me that thing like, okay, this meeting could have been an email. Well, yeah, this phone call could have been a text message. So definitely in a spicy mood because, I've gotten phone calls and I've just wanted to have text messages and they drive me nuts. And we're in the middle of the forever pandemic, which is never going to end because people are fucking stupid. And that shit gets me fucking boiled because like, it's not even just people not taking the steps that they need to prevent the spread of COVID. It's people not doing the things that we have been doing for fucking ever to prevent the spread of any contagious disease, like the flu. Like I used to work in a hospital, so I know that when you had the flu or your patient had a flu, or pneumonia or some sort of like contagious communicable disease that was airborne, you put them in a mask, you put you in a mask, and you social distance. That was never a fucking thing. And you got your fucking vaccines. You always got your vaccines. There's people that I know today who are anti-vax only because of COVID-19. Like they were staunchly anti-vax like a few years ago. Now, all of a sudden, the COVID vaccine comes out and they're anti-vax. And it's because these people have been fucking brainwashed by this like ridiculous death cult right-wing media that has convinced them that like everything is a fucking conspiracy to track you and to control you. And I'm like, okay, but you're on social media on your fucking smartphone. Those are the two things that are controlling and tracking you. Like, if you want to not be controlled or tracked, you would ditch your cell phone and you would get off of social media because those are the things that are legitimately controlling the way you think and tracking your every move. Because, like, that's what they were designed to do. And that's what all the software that's on them was designed to do. Not a fucking vaccine. But people are stupid and they're not getting fucking vaccinated. So we're stuck in this fucking pandemic that's literally going to last for fucking ever unless we get people to actually do the socially conscious thing that we've been doing for generations before this, since fucking polio. But anyway, that's not what this show is about. This show isn't about calling out stupid assholes not getting vaccinated. This show is about fun shit. So let's try to talk about some fun shit. Let's try to get me out of my spiciness. So there's some new stuff on Disney Plus. If you have Disney Plus because you're watching Book of Boba Fett, you have access to all this other shit. That's so cool. Like, let's talk about The fact that The Eternals is available right now, and it did not have a period of time where you had to pay for premiere access. It was just free from the moment that it started. Not from the moment that it came out in theaters, understandably, but the moment that it was available on Disney Plus, there was no premiere access. And I haven't watched it yet. I've heard some mixed reviews and, you know, whatever. But what I have watched that's relatively new, it's a few weeks old now, but one of probably very quickly becoming one of my favorite animated movies ever is Encanto. If you have not watched Encanto yet, I definitely recommend it. I mean, I can't recommend it enough. It's got, it's super cute. It's super fun. It's very heartfelt. It's got great messages about handling the pressure that families put on us and finding your own role in your family, whether or not they decide what it is or you decide what your role is. And the fucking soundtrack slaps so goddamn hard. Like, it is such a good soundtrack. And that's because they decided to hire Lin-Manuel Miranda, who most of you know from Hamilton. And it's just an insanely good soundtrack. I think it's been like Billboard top, I think the top, I think number one on Billboard for like weeks now. And one of the songs, We Don't Talk About Bruno, is like, that one's my favorite. And I think that one on YouTube has like 70 million views in the last 3 weeks. So 3 weeks, 70 million views, not bad. So I definitely recommend watching it. It's such a good, adorable, cute, wholesome, quality movie. And I don't think a lot of people watched it because they kind of assumed that, oh, well, it went straight to streaming, so it can't be good, right? Like, there was no premiere, there was nothing. It was just streaming. And I think that's a stigma that we are going to have to, we're going to have to try to get out of, because movies that come out straight to streaming, they're not always bad. They're not always, it's not a direct indicator, especially on Disney Plus. It is not a direct indicator of how good or bad a movie is. On Disney Plus, pretty much everything that they put out has been incredible since Soul was, like, I think the first one. But yeah, I mean, it's not an indicator of how bad it is if it just goes straight to streaming. Soul was incredible. Ron's Gone Wrong was recent too. That one, it's adorable and cute and awesome. And at the end of it, I mean, you really do want one of those things. And then you've got Encanto, which I guarantee you that if you watch, you're going to be singing those songs for weeks. And you're going to be looking them up on YouTube and whatever your streaming music service of choice is. You're going to be looking up the songs because they're so fucking good. So I definitely recommend that. I recommend Ron's Gone Wrong. I recommend Soul. I recommend, like, all of the Disney Plus, Pixar, Disney streaming movies. Because they're all so good. They're all just really, really good. And you can't go wrong with it. They're just fun. And it's something other than Star Wars. If you're looking for, like, kind of a break from Star Wars, these movies, you can get into them very easily. And they'll occupy part of your brain and let you kind of heal from Star Wars, Star Wars fatigue, I guess. And it's fatigue from Star Wars, in my opinion, does not come from the show. It comes from dealing with the fandom, which I guess leads us right into The Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 3. This one was interesting because this one, you know what, I gotta say, this one was not my favorite. It's not that it's bad. And I think there's part of the problem with talking about anything online is that if you're not, like, blindly in support of anything, then everybody assumes that you are blindly against it. And we have this weird idea that there's no middle ground anymore. There's just, you either love it and everything about it and nothing is wrong, or you think all of Star Wars is terrible and Kathleen Kennedy should have laser eyes. Like, there's no middle ground when we're talking to people online anymore. And it's really annoying because, like, I want to be able to say all the things that I truly think about this episode, which was that it's not my favorite. I was not terribly thrilled about, like, the action scenes, and, you know, and I understand the criticisms about this episode because it was a little jarring. But let's, like, starting off, we'll just talk about the episode definitely more prominently featured the kind of now timeline. The show kind of has been bouncing back and forth between flashbacks and, you know, flashbacks of Bobo when he was a child, as well as flashbacks of Bobo when he was, you know, first escaped the Sarlacc pit and first really encountered the Tusken Raiders. And there's, you know, there's been that, as well as the timeline of what I call the now timeline, which is him reclaiming all of Jabba's territories and kind of working to establish himself as the new crime lord on Tatooine. So this episode definitely featured the now timeline a little bit more, while only doing some mild flashbacks in the back to tank, which I got to admit, the thing that I love, I don't know who said it. Somebody on Twitter called it the flashback to tank. And that's what it is to me now, is the flashback to tank. So the show only did, like, you know, some mild flashbacks in the back to tank. And it did show what I think might be the biggest heartbreak of the entire season, which was the slaughter of the Tusken people that Boba had allied with. I mean, they, like, the biker gang that had been going around spray painting symbols on everything that they sacked, they fucking slaughtered the shit out of the Tusken people. And Boba came back and found the camp totally destroyed and, you know, kind of ceremonially burned the bodies. And you saw that one of the bodies that was in the fire, thanks to Boba holding up the gaffy stick, was the small one, the child, which that hurt. That definitely hurt. Then it, you know, it goes back and Boba's really establishing himself as the daimyo of Mos Espa, asserting his claim to Jabba's territories over the Hutt twins and the mayor and the syndicate. And he's got all of these things happening around him all the time. And he's got to, you know, he's got to balance all this stuff. And he really, in this episode, he gets his first request as a crime lord, that being to shake down a couple of these locals who owe this vendor some money. And, you know, this is where I saw some criticisms that I totally don't agree with. So they owed him a lot of money, these locals. And Boba, you know, goes up to these locals who are on their little Vespa bikes and, you know, says, hey, you owe this guy a lot of money, you better pay up. But then it turns out that they told him they owed money for water. And they owed a lot of money for water. And it wasn't like a lot of water either. It was just, this dude is overcharging for water. And the guy that made the request is actually kind of an evil dick. And, you know, Boba being kind of a good guy, you know, he's kind of neutral good, but he's good. Decides, okay, well, if you guys can't pay, then work for me. And then he shakes down the vendor and says, listen, take whatever I give you for money, that'll cover their debt, even though it's not enough, but go fuck yourself. It is now. And these guys are going to work for me, and you're going to lower the prices of your water because it's water and everybody should have access to it. So, you know, kind of a happy ending, but I saw some comments that were saying Boba should have just shot them all if they refused to pay, because that's what a true crime lord does. Okay, well, maybe, like, a Jabba crime lord would have done that, but Jabba is a bad guy, and we're already establishing that Boba is a good guy, and he's ruling differently than Jabba would have. Jabba probably would have just had them shot. Probably. So, you know, it's a different type of crime boss. He's not going to be the type of crime boss that is just going to start, you know, slaughtering people left and right. He's different than that. Now, as the episode goes on, this is where I think the most legitimate criticisms come in, because I have the same criticisms. The space Vespas, which is pretty much the only thing you can call them, they did seem slightly out of place to me. Because, you know, you've got everything else on Mos Espa is like dusty and scratched up and weathered. And yet you have these kids who couldn't afford to have water. They have pristine, shiny, colorful speeders. Like, they kind of stood out in a way that was a little jarring to me. Not necessarily like what I've seen some people say where it's not Star Wars. It's definitely Star Wars. But it didn't kind of, it really stood out against the environment. Like that, those speeders kind of seemed more like something that should be on Coruscant than something that should be on Tatooine. So to me, it was just a little weird, and I couldn't quite get into it. And there's a Twitter account @AtChat, or ATAT chat, if you want to be technical. But he posted something that, showed that it actually might have been a color grading thing. And if you tweak the colors a little bit, like it's beyond what I know how to do as far, like I know photography and I know how to like tweak colors in photos. But I don't know, like, you know, as deep as what he was putting in there, like gamma and all that stuff. But he did a little tweak and it actually looked a lot better. It actually blended the two items, the background and the Vespas, a lot better. So I honestly think that this could have been a slightly less jarring scene if they had done a little bit more to kind of blend the two elements together, the background and all of this space Vespa stuff. And I think it would have eased people into the design and the color of it a little bit more, but still, for me, it's just it didn't quite fit in on Tatooine, and I feel like there needs to be an explanation. Like maybe in a future episode, they'll talk about something. You know, I get that these guys are kind of like a small town like motorcycle gang or whatever, and so they obviously take pride in their speeders, but I think that there maybe needs to be a little bit more, because for me, my personal thoughts were, it's a little out there. It's a little too out there for me. And I couldn't quite get into it. That and the speed of the car chase scene. I love those online calling it the Back to the Future scene, because it definitely felt like Back to the Future. But the speed of the whole scene was very, very slow. Like, it didn't feel like any of them were topping more than like 15 miles an hour, maybe. And, you know, I get that in a live action performance versus like an animated performance that, you know, you're going to have some limitations as far as what you can do and how fast you can go on these things that don't actually exist. But I've seen Star Wars do better, and things like Solo had an incredible chase scene at the beginning that definitely felt fast. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I just think that they didn't choose to do it, and I'm not entirely certain why. Overall, I think the scene is fine overall. And I you know, it gets the point across that these guys are now working for Boba and they're helping him out, but the overall mood of that scene just didn't mesh with kind of what the other tone of the show has kind of been so far. Like, the show has kind of had a fairly consistent tone, and then you've got this kind of wacky, colorful car chase romp right in the middle of episode 3, and it's just really, like, it's weird to me. It just didn't quite fit. It would, like, it didn't make the show or the episode bad. It just didn't really fit. For me, it would be like if you took the movie Saving Private Ryan, and then, like, partway into the Normandy beach landing, you had all of them doing a musical number of them storming the beach, you know, like they're singing, they're doing like an actual musical. Like, it doesn't fit the tone. It would be fine if they made the entire movie like that, but that one bit doesn't really fit with the other bits, you know? And then this is all just my opinion. Like, it's okay, I think, if you liked it. And if it was really your thing, and if you had a really great time, then that's awesome. I am happy that you really liked it. It didn't really work for me. But overall, the episode was fantastic. And there was a lot of stuff to love about the episode, too. Like, Boba discovering the Tusken camp had been sacked and the people slaughtered. That was soul-crushing. That was awful. Like, that made me feel something right down here in the pit. Like, oh, it just hurts so bad. And, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation, but Black Kersantan, he's fucking awesome. we actually finally get to see him in live action, fucking crushing it. And he was whooping the shit out of the whole damn crew. Granted, they were kind of attacking him one at a time, but he's a biter. and he whooped some serious ass. And it was awesome seeing how fucking hard it is to take down a tough ass Wookiee. And then after that, Boba gets a pet Rancor. And instead of the Rancor being like fearsome and brutal and predictable, it's actually cute and adorable. And Boba wants to ride it. And of course, that scene would be nothing without Danny fucking Trejo. I love Danny Trejo. And I know it wouldn't be a Robert Rodriguez thing without him. But Danny Trejo just has like, you know that he's got like that tough exterior, but the person himself, he's got a heart of gold. And I'm glad that he doesn't always just play like some hard ass. Like in this one, he gets to play a dude that tells Boba, yeah, these Rancors, they're tough and fearsome if you want them to be, but if you don't want them to be, they're actually pretty loving. And I'm like, I want to cuddle with a Rancor now. How is that a thing? How is that a sentence that I am saying in 2022? I want to cuddle with a Rancor. It's fucking ridiculous, and I love the fact that this show is making me say that. And the episode also does a lot more to set up for what might be a difficult showdown later on. You know, like, the twins are out. The Hutts are no longer a problem, so we don't really have to worry about what they're going to do. They said they're going back to Nal Hutta. Fine. They're going out. Black Chrysanthemum, no longer really an issue, I think, because he was working with the twins, and the twins said, hey, he's yours now. And Boba was like, okay, cool, you're free. Now my personal fan theory on that is, I know it's like a Wookiee thing, but I don't know if it's like a Wookiees who have honor thing, and I don't know if Black Chrysanthemum really has that. I don't know anything about him, honestly. But he might possibly owe Boba a life debt. And I think they could be setting up a partnership, kind of like a dark version of Han and Chewie. Like, it could be Boba and Black Chrysanthemum. And he could come back and fucking crush whoever Boba's going to be facing off with in the last few episodes. Which might be, going on to the next point, the Pikes. It could be the Pikes. The Pikes could be the main bad guys. Or, at large, the Syndicate. And they're using the biker gang, they're using Mokshays, they're using the Assassin's people to play this big shell game while trying to move in on Jabba's territories without giving Boba any ideas as to where they're coming from. You know, like that's my personal thought, is it's going to be either the Pikes or the Syndicate itself. And all they're doing is, they're all pointing fingers at each other, and they're playing this big game where it's going to be, okay, it's the biker gang. No, it's Mokshays. No, it's the assassin people. No, it's these guys. It's these guys. All to distract Boba, who's like the number one threat to them, from discovering who he needs to be focusing his attention towards. So I think that's probably going to be something that they're setting up. And I know we saw a lot of dead Tuskens, but I don't remember seeing the warrior priestess among them. I don't believe I saw her. So Boba having her and Black Chrysanthemum at the end would be fucking dope. Oh, it would be so cool to see both of them, like all three of them partnering up with Fennec Shand, with the Gamorreans, with the pet Rancor. Like, can you imagine? Picturing this scene coming up at the end. You've got the Space Vespa crew. You've got Fennec Shand. You've got the two Gamorreans. You've got Black Chrysanthemum. You've got the Tusken warrior priestess. You've got Boba Fett rolling up, riding a Rancor. Like, there's fucking nothing that would stop him. I would just fucking give him whatever he wants. That's it. Boba, you have control of Tatooine forever. You have this fucking crew that you're assembling that is unfucking stoppable. And that's so exciting. I can't wait to see what they do with it. I hope they do. So, you know, that's what this show is to me. It's doing a lot of setup that I'm super excited for. And I'm very optimistic that they're going to pay it off. I don't know. And I get the criticisms. I understand the criticisms of the show. I understand not liking it. Because this show is definitely different from The Mandalorian. It's not The Mandalorian. And it's not supposed to be, but it's definitely got a different flair. Honestly, I'm not quite as into this as I was with The Mandalorian, but even if it's not my favorite show, like, I'm not going to go on social media and start just, like, yakking shit about it, you know? Like, I see these accounts, and every week they're blasting some thing on the new episode. Like, they're blasting when Boba was smiling and bouncing on the speeder bike saying, like a bantha. And they're blasting everything from every episode. But the thing is they're paying their monthly subscription. So you're literally paying Disney to give you content that you hate. That is actual insanity. Like, literal insanity. And they do the same thing with the movies. And they've done it for 10 fucking years. They've sat there. They've paid money to Disney to give them content that they fucking hate. And I don't understand it. So, if the Book of Boba Fett doesn't work for you, Kenobi is coming. Kenobi is coming this year. And we're going to get Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker back on the screen for the first fucking time. Since The Revenge of the Sith. Because we're getting Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. But it's going to be so good. Hopefully, I have no idea. But I guarantee you that Kenobi is going to come out and these fucking shitheads are going to shit all over it. And then you're also going to have these shitheads. They're going to attack people for having legitimate criticisms. Guys, stop it. It's okay if people don't like these shows as long as they're not being assholes about it. You don't have to be an asshole about it. So I would say if when Kenobi comes out and it doesn't satisfy your need for Star Wars, then that's it. Like, it's been long enough. I think it's time that you leave the fandom, that you just disregard Star Wars. Your entire personality at that point would just be hating something you say you're a fan of, and that's just fucking pathetic to keep at that for so long. It's ridiculous. So I would say leave the fandom. Because if you don't like Kenobi, it's done for you. There's nothing else. And, like, to sit there and just find accounts that like shit that you don't. And then people are having a good time talking about stuff that they like, and you go in and just start shitting all over it. Like, here's my metaphor. I don't like baseball. I fucking hate baseball. Honestly, it's America's pastime, and I know that there's people probably listening that love baseball and they have some sort of emotional connection to it, and that's fine. I used to love playing baseball, and I used to love watching it, and to this day, I still love going to Fenway because I love being there, but the game is the least interesting thing to me. Like, it is so boring, and the story that I have is about how baseball's really the only game where your team can lose like 30 games in a row and still be considered the best team in the league. Like, there's this time I was working with a guy who loves baseball, and we have nothing in common other than just working at the same place. So he was trying to break the ice with me. We weren't really talking. We were just doing our work. And, you know, it had been like maybe 10 minutes since anybody said anything. So he tried breaking the ice and he's like, hey, you seen the Sox game? I was like, no, but, me being a New England boy, I hear about it on the news. I hear about the Sox, how they're doing. I don't pay attention to every single game, but I kind of have a general idea so that I can do stuff like this and break the ice with people. But I had just heard that they had lost like 17 games in a row. So I told him, no, but I heard they lost 17 in a row. They got to be out of contention for the World Series by now, right? And he looks at me with like this shocked, disgusted look on his face. He's like, what are you talking about, kid? They're number one team in the whole league right now. And I could not fucking believe that baseball has so many fucking games that they can lose 17 fucking games in a row and still be the best fucking team in the league. That's when you know that each game, each individual game is so pointless and so unimportant that you can lose 17 of them and still be the best. Like, how many fucking games is the worst team losing? They have to be up at like 120 games every month. I don't know. There's just too many fucking games. And so I hate baseball because it's so boring. And each game is so unimportant in each individual game. But despite my objections on baseball, I'm not sitting there hopping onto Twitter threads, seeing people having a good time discussing the game and saying fun things and making predictions about how players are going to do. I'm not hopping into those Twitter threads and being like, baseball sucks, it's boring. Because I'm not a dickless shit eater that gets off by being unlikable. I don't care if people like me, but I don't, like, literally ejaculate when people hate me either. And that's what I think these fucking people are, is they just love when people hate them. They love the attention of people hating them. And they think that, like, they're owning us by making us triggered and whatever. But, like, it's just fucking dumb. So people having fun with something I don't enjoy or even something I used to enjoy, it doesn't bother me. Because I feel like this is just a diagnosable mental illness, that people see somebody having fun and they have this like uncontrollable, impulsive urge to just shit on it and make people feel stupid for liking it. Like, it's definitely mental illness, like some fucking trauma that happened to Sheev, like that doesn't allow him to move on from things he didn't like. And now he's tweeting 400 fucking times a day about how bad he thinks The Last Jedi is, as if anybody gives a fuck. And if that doesn't paint him as just the most pathetic, mentally unstable human being there is, it's pathetic. To me, it's the same as watching heroin addicts. Like, they're trying to stand upright while doing normal everyday activities, but they start falling asleep. I was an EMT. I've seen that shit a lot. And it's people like Sheev, they're literally addicted to the attention that hating everything brings them. They don't even really care, I think, about the positive interactions that they have, the people that agree with them. I honestly just think he gets off on the negative retweets, the people quote tweeting him and the people ratioing him or whatever. He loves that shit. So, you know, fuck me. I'm even giving him attention right now by calling him out. But really, this is to call all of you out for sharing his shitty takes. And honestly, it's not our responsibility to defend the Book of Boba Fett on Disney's behalf. Like, they are a like fucking trillion-dollar corporation. They have a marketing budget specifically for this purpose, to defend the show. We don't have to do anything for them. So honestly, if you see shitty takes, just have fun. Use the block button. Get rid of them. Move on. Like, you don't need to share shitty takes to call them out. You don't need to share shitty takes and just say the word ratio. Like, I don't fucking get that. But like, just use the block button and move on. Don't have long drawn out conversations, because the thing about that is, when somebody follows you, whenever you share a shitty take, it shares to everybody that follows you. And whenever you comment on a shitty take, it shares to everybody that follows you. And I'm not like 100% innocent on this. I do it too. And it was my New Year's resolution to try to stop. It's tough because, like, I see people having these shitty takes and I'm like, how the fuck did you come to this conclusion? That's fucking stupid. But it's not my responsibility. I don't have a responsibility to defend it. My only responsibility to Disney is just to watch, because I'm paying them to watch it. So I should just watch it. I should do the thing that I paid to do. That's it. So anyway, like, you know, it's just frustrating, because there's bad takes and there's people that are attacking people who have legitimate criticisms. And again, this is just the discourse on Twitter, the discourse on social media. It's fucked up, and it's fucked up on both sides. And I think that I'm on the side that is saying we should just enjoy it. We should just enjoy what we have, because we're not promised anything. Disney could literally just shutter all of the Star Wars shit and just never release another thing ever again. And you know what? That's their prerogative. They own it. They're the ones that own Star Wars. We don't own shit. So I'm just happy that we're getting stuff. I'm happy that we even have stuff coming down the pipe and we have stuff that's promised on the horizon. Like that's some fucking exciting shit. We have Kenobi, we have, you know, Rogue Squadron, we have all this cool shit coming down the pipe. I'm just excited to be getting it. And I think a lot of you out there are too. So I definitely think that the best course of action is just to enjoy stuff and just to, you know, you can have conversations, but understand that people have differing opinions. And if you want to tell me that I'm fucking stupid for not liking this episode as much as the other episodes, or that I don't understand Star Wars because I didn't like the space Vespa scene as much as other scenes in the episode, whatever, fucking fine. Tell me that. I don't give a shit. All I'm going to do is block you. But whatever. Like, we can all have differing opinions. There's a lot of people that I know of that didn't quite like this episode, and that's okay. That is fine. It's not an episode that, you know, has to be unanimously liked. Nothing is. And it's fine if people didn't like it. It's fine if people loved it. And if they think this is the greatest show that has ever existed, I'm okay with that. I'm so happy that people out there are loving this stuff. Because when I do find stuff about this show that I love, I have people to talk to about it. I have people to go, oh my God, the fucking warrior priestess person, she's so cool. And there's people that'll agree with me and there's people that'll disagree. But whatever, use the block button. That's all I'm saying. Use the fucking block button. Anyway, I'm not going to take up too much time. This is going to be kind of a short episode today, just because my throat is dry and scratchy and I can't talk for very long. And I have really nothing else to say. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for interacting on Twitter. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are the best. Hopefully I'll have some time to keep releasing episodes like this. I am starting for actual a new job on Monday. So my time is going to be taken up again by work. So I really hope that I'm going to be able to keep up with this. I'm going to try to keep to like a Tuesday, Thursday recording schedule. And just, you know, watching stuff and making notes and trying to keep this thing going, because I love having this show. I love talking to you guys. I love, love, love this community so much. You guys are amazing. And, you know, if you guys like talking with me, then hit me up on Twitter, at Bright Suns Media. I'm on Discord. I'm on everything, really. But if you can't find me, just try at Bright Suns Media. I also do have an alert set up. So if you have questions and you can't remember my username, just hit hashtag Ask Bright Suns. I do have an alert set up so that you can type that in and I'll find it and answer questions and have conversations with you, because I love you guys. But that's it. So thank you guys for tuning in. I love you. May the Force be with you always, and have a fantastic week. Let's go for episode 4, chapter 4 of Book of Boba Fett, coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be a great week. Have a great one. Love you guys.